In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Blessed Pascha. Today we will be talking about the eve of Holy Wednesday. And the theme of this evening is our marriage with the bridegroom. And throughout the Bible, marriage is symbolized between the union of God and his people, Israel. In fact, Israel is called the Lord's wife, and the Lord himself said, I was a husband to them, throughout the prophets in the books of Jeremiah and Isaiah. In the history of Israel, the relationship between the Lord and the people is shown by the relationship between the prophet Hosea and his wife Gomer. It's one of complete infidelity. It's one of lack of faithfulness. It's a heartbreaking story of Hosea committing himself to a woman who constantly shows lack of love. And that's why we see such strong language throughout the prophets and throughout Revelation and throughout the entire Gospels. We use language such as fornication and adultery when we turn aside from God towards idols. Now, for us as the church, we're the bride of Christ, but the prophecies apply to us, and the gospel readings serve as a warning for us as well, for those of us who turn aside from the Lord. It's often said that in marriage, people start to reflect each other, and their habits start to become the same, their emotions, even their looks start to merge together. And it's the same reason why we use this, the language of marriage in the gospels. It's because when we start to form a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we start to reflect by our virtues. We start to look like him. It's the same reason why when a lot of people will look upon the face of someone like, you know, St. Shenouda Archimandrite, they'll say, I've seen Christ himself. And it's the same reason why when we delve into sin and it becomes a habit, that we start to look like, you know, the other end of the spectrum. And it's why Christ himself tells the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's will. Because we start to reflect that which we associate ourselves with. So, the Eve of Wednesday is divided into 5 hours. And it forms a very, very clear theme from start to end. In the first hour, we talk about the wedding garment. And then in the third hour, we talk about the bride's oil or the faithfulness of the servant, the watchfulness. We move on to the sixth hour, where we talk about the parable of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. In the 9th, we look at the rejected bride. And in the 11th, we talk about the wise bride. And it's wonderful that the church in her wisdom ends on a promising and good note about the 5 wise virgins and how we should aspire to be like them. So we begin with the first hour. And the hour talks about the parable of the wedding banquet. So from the gospel reading, it says, and again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast. And in the prophecy of Ezekiel for this particular hour, we see this parable of a coppersmith who wants to purify different types of metal in the furnace. And what the Lord himself is telling us is that you and I are like metals. And he wants to purify us to make us shining gold or silver. And the church fathers, when they contemplate on these readings, say, when these fine metals are mixed with other imperfections, they're useless. And these imperfections represent sin. So when you and I are thrown into the furnace, as Israel is thrown into a furnace, what the Lord is trying to tell us is by purging us and by purifying us, we're getting rid of all these tiny imperfections that mix with the core. And historically, what this means for Israel is that when they were being purified, if you remember historically, they were attacked by both Assyria and Babylon, and they were exiled. And regardless of the fact that they brought it upon themselves because they departed from the source of life, God still uses those moments as moments of purification to restore Israel once again. So even while we're still being unfaithful, and even while we bring condemnation onto ourselves by our own wicked actions, Christ still uses those moments to restore us and to purify us. He turns what is evil into good. And so the gospel again focuses on this idea of the wedding garment and what this means for us. And the church fathers talk about this wedding garment as being equivalent to putting on chastity, charity, grace, and virtue. They talk about covering ourselves with virtue so we can look presentable in front of the Lord. And it's no coincidence that everything sort of is one coherent story. Because yesterday we were talking about the cursing of the fig tree and how Christ, when he curses the fig tree, the leaves wither, right? For the leaves to wither, it means they shrink and they cease to be. And St. Ephrem the Syrian, when he contemplates on this passage, he says that it's not only because of the hypocrisy of the fig tree that the Lord curses it. The fact that he causes it to wither actually has symbolism that goes all the way back to Genesis. So if you remember in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sin, they feel ashamed of themselves. And when they feel ashamed of themselves, the first thing that they do is they look for leaves, fig leaves in particular, to go and to cover their nakedness. And what St. Ephrem tells us is that this idea of covering their nakedness is this idea of putting a barrier between their intimacy with themselves and God. So this idea of feeling exposed feels shameful to them because they've done something wrong. They've been unfaithful. So they feel ashamed by being naked. So they go and they cover themselves with fig leaves. And what St. Ephrem contemplates on is the fact that Christ curses this fig tree and causes the leaves to shrink and wither. What he says is, it means that what Christ is doing is he's breaking the barrier that separated him and Adam and Eve. That barrier that formed between them to block the intimacy between them, he causes it to shrink and wither. Why? So he can cover them with this wedding garment. That's one of the most profound contemplations of St. Ephrem on the fact that it's not only out of hypocrisy that he curses it, it's also the fact that he wants to cover us with something greater. He wants to cover us with virtue, with charity, with grace. And it's also worth noting that it's Christ himself who covers us with these things. Our part in this entire story is really, really small. And if you look throughout the entire history of Israel, it's God chasing after Israel every step of the way, even when they're being unfaithful, even when they're sent to Babylon. Christ is still pursuing them. So, when we get to the end of the gospel, and when we look at the exposition, we see this man without the wedding garment who gets thrown out. And the exposition tells us that that person is Judas. And that is a very pitiable thing. It's not that the gospel is pointing out at someone who, you know, is to be made fun of. It's to look at something that's pitiable. It's to look at someone who was given an apostolic throne and who threw it away. In fact, in some of the earlier traditions of the church, when they're doing the cycle in Covenant Thursday for Judas, what they'll usually do is they'll put a chair upside down in the middle of the church to signify how he gave up an apostolic throne. So when we look at Judas as someone without a wedding garment, we look at that with pity and we look at that with warning. Not because something bad's going to happen, but because we're missing out on an opportunity for something great, for something incredible, for an intimacy with Christ himself. So St. Cyril of Jerusalem comments on this gospel reading from the first hour and says, "Put off, I beg you, fornication and uncleanness, and put on the brightest robe of chastity. This charge I give you before Jesus, the bridegroom of souls. Come in and see their fashions. You have been allowed a long notice. You have 40 days of repentance," but obviously for us, we have a week of preparation, so we have more time for repentance. "You have had a full opportunity to both put off and wash, and to put on and enter. But if you persist in an evil purpose, the speaker is blameless." So what St. Cyril is saying is, we've been given such a long period of notice and so much time to repent and turn back that Christ himself is blameless when the time comes. And this leads us automatically into the third hour, which is the watchful servant. And from the gospel reading, we see St. Matthew saying, "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Okay, the reason that this follows the discussion on putting on virtue is to basically tell us not to tire of being virtuous. It's to draw us closer to Christ himself so that we don't do good for the sake of a reward. And St. John Chrysostom, when he talks about this, he says that there are three kinds of love that we can form. We can either form the love of a servant, which is we don't know anything about the master of the house. We only do what's good so that we're not punished. Basically, equivalent of we do good so that we don't go to hell. And then he says there's a second level of love slightly above it, which is the love of a steward. The love of a steward, he kind of knows a little bit about the master, but he only really does good so that he can get some reward. So that, you know, I'm just going to do good just for enough time so I can strike a bargain with God and go to heaven. But I really don't care. I just don't want to go to hell. And he says the third kind of love is the love of a son. And the son does the will of the father without any expectation of reward and without any fear of punishment. And what the watchful servant parable is telling us is that we need to be drawn closer and move up in the ranks to form a true loving relationship with Christ out of intimacy and out of love, not out of fearful expectations or out of expectations for a reward. And one of the church fathers, when he comments on this, says, those who live according to the gospel do not attempt to find the date of the end. Rather, knowing that our personal end, which is death, may happen at any moment, they pursue vigilance. Right? And it makes sense if you think about it again in the entire theme of this night, which is marriage. If you only do good for the sake of getting a reward from your husband or your wife, it's not really, you know, the greatest of things. You do things out of love. So, the thing that we bear in mind is that both virtue and vices are habits, right? Well, when a person doesn't commit a humble act, a person is humble, right? And a person doesn't commit an act of vice, a person is sinful. And this is why the reading of the watchful servant appears daily in the first watch of the midnight hour. Because we're expected to be continually praying, continually committed to our relationship, continually focused on the fact that these acts form us as persons. We either become virtuous or we don't. It's sinful, right? So if we do think about our relationship with our Lord as it is, which is indeed a relationship, then we have to sort of have a shift in our mindset from it being one of transaction to one of relationship. So if we stand for prayer 5 to 10 minutes a day doing, you know, our spiritual canon, then that's not really a relationship, it's a transaction. It's I'm doing 5 to 10 minutes so I can, you know, check something off, and so I don't get that punishment of the servant. So I don't go to hell, basically. But if you think about it in comparison to any relationship that you have with anyone around you, if you dedicate 5 to 10 minutes to one person in your life, that relationship is not sustainable. It doesn't work. It's transactional. If you look at all the most intimate people in your lives, friends or family, you dedicate a lot more time. Why? Because that's how relationships are formed. That's how intimacy is formed. That's how you get to know one another very well. It takes a lot more than a simple 5 to 10 minutes. Right? And this is why we see the Lord speaking through Amos the prophet in this hour saying, I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the melody of your harps, I will not listen. And it's a really terrifying reading, but what he's saying is, if our heart isn't in the relationship, then it's just transactional. And we don't fool God by being in church, but our hearts and our minds are somewhere else. So the Israelites serve a warning for us. And even though we have these solemn assemblies, and even though we have these banquets, if the heart and the intention is not there, then it's not a relationship. It's the same thing with marriage. If you're not particularly attentive, then it's not working. Okay, so we move from being from the wedding vestments to being watchful to now the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, so the gospel says, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. There are a lot of questions that arise when we read this gospel. It's a pretty complicated and pretty deep gospel. So we want to ask some of these questions and we're going to try answering them. What do the virgins represent? The church fathers will say that the 10 virgins represent all of humanity, specifically those within the church who profess the faith and appear to perform good deeds. Okay, and they'll ask, what is the significance of it being 5 and 5? And they'll answer and say, it represents the 5 senses. The 5 wise virgins represent purified senses. And in the context of marriage, that's also very applicable. Everything is faithful, there's fidelity in all the senses, everything is oriented towards the one person. And the 5 foolish virgins represent 5 senses that have been, well, unfaithful. Your orientation is elsewhere, not towards your husband or your wife. And obviously that's the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Either our senses are purified and they're completely focused on the Lord, or we're unfaithful and our senses are elsewhere. They're being devious. And then they'll ask again, is this story only relevant to those who live a life of virginity, monks and nuns and the likes? And they'll say, no, virginity here symbolizes purity of heart. So whenever we talk about virginity of the heart, we mean a heart that's not laced with passions, a heart that's not mixed with sin, a heart that's faithful, that's virgin, that's fertile soil for Christ, who is the seed, to come and find root in, right? And then they'll ask, what is the significance of midnight? Why that time? And it's particularly because you have to be up and watchful and vigilant at midnight. It's an unexpected hour. It's not a time that you prepare for. It's a time where if you've been living a virtuous life and committed to the relationship with the Lord, then at every hour in the day, even an unexpected hour, you're ready. Okay, what do the oils and the lamp symbolize? Oil is used symbolically throughout the entire Bible, throughout the scriptures, the Old Testament, and throughout the New Testament. And we use it in all of our sacraments. And so some of the church fathers will come and say, the oil symbolizes the grace of God that enables these good works. So there's a connection here to the Holy Spirit, that it is through the Holy Spirit that we have these works. And they'll continue to ask, well, who are the sellers of the oil? You know, when the 5 wise tell the 5 foolish, go get oil, what are they going to go get oil from? St. John Chrysostom, particularly on this point, says, the sellers of the oil are the poor, right? They're the metaphorical symbol of this parable, that it is through them that we obtain oil, that they are the ones who supply oil because we are the ones who are in need of it, right? They have a lot to dispense, and we have a need of buying. So it is through acquiring virtues and good works. Okay, so then these filled oil lamps are contrasted with the prophecy from this hour from Jeremiah, where he talks about Israel as being wine jars. And he says that these wine jars filled with wine represent drunkenness, and that drunkenness leads to destruction. And so we have our 2 choices from the gospel and from the prophecy, is that we either become oil-filled lamps or we become jars of wine. And so when we get to the 9th hour, we start examining what it is about the 5 foolish virgins that's despised. And if you remember the gospel, it talks about how the scribes and the Pharisees are rejected. And this is the example that's used to represent the 5 foolish virgins. Okay. So the gospel, apart from the gospel reading, just says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And this is why we see God exclaim through Hosea the prophet in this hour, saying, because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. And as Father Pishoy Kamel writes, the readings of this hour are a prelude to their great evil about to take place at the hands of the chief priests through handling Jesus to be killed. And this is where we see the climax of evil in the state of our souls. That not only do we know that we've sinned, but we're also very deliberate about the fact that we're committing evil, about the fact that we respond to God's love that we're very aware of with evil. So while God wants to clothe us, the new Israel, as he wanted to clothe the old Israel with the wedding garments, the response is what? They kill the prophets. They openly rebel against God, and they take delight in sin. And you and I do the same exact thing. So when God pursues us through all the different means possible, like the Pharisees, we're aware of it, but we respond with hostility. But on a brighter note, we get to the 11th hour, and we see the crowd waiting for Jesus. And this crowd waiting for Jesus resembles the five wise virgins. And this is the example they give us. The readings conclude with an example of the five wise virgins so we can leave hopeful that God has given both you and I time to be here, attending, ready to be purified, to fill our hearts with joy, and to remove all the sin, to be purified, to remove those, like the coppersmith, to remove those alloys, to remove those imperfections, and to put on the wedding garments. So from the gospel reading, we see that it says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think, that he will not come to the feast? So one of the early Christian commentators reads this passage and says, these were the words of those who desired to see Christ. With good reason, the crowd was close to him because of the miracles he had performed. They have come up to purify themselves, and they're eager to see Christ. And here they display a great act of wisdom. And this is why the prophecy from this hour is exactly from the Book of Wisdom, when it says, for God loves nothing so much as the man who lives with wisdom. And this crowd is like the five wise virgins, because it's through their intimacy with wisdom that they desire to be purified and to see Christ. So as we continue through this blessed Paschal period, we have to reflect on the fact that our relationship with Christ isn't a transaction. You know, like I prayed for 5 minutes and he'll send me to heaven, or I haven't prayed, he'll send me to hell. It doesn't work that way. It's not transactional, it's a relationship. So like any relationship, like a marriage, it needs to be nurtured, it needs to be cared for, it needs to be given deliberate time, it needs to be intimate. And the thing is, Christ is always knocking. It's never been about the matter of, will Christ knock, or will Christ, you know, look for me, or will Christ want to clothe me in the wedding garment? If you look through the entire story of Israel, the entire story of Israel is Christ chasing after the people wanting to clothe them. You and I, all we have to do is just respond. Thank you for your time. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
En sotir
afi afse
نتضرع إليك يا سيد الله الآب ضابط الكل والابن الوحيد القدوس خالق الكل ومدبر والروح القدس المحيي الثالوث القدوس الذي تأتي له كل ركب ما في السماء وما في الأرض نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا For the heavenly peace and unity of all churches in the world, monasteries and for those dwelling in and caring for all holy places Oh, God, have compassion on your creation and deliver it from all evil. We ask you, Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. Amen. بقدرته دبر حياة الإنسان قبل خلقته يا صنع له الموجودات بحكمته وزين السماء بالنجوم والأرض بالنباتات والأشجار والكروم والأودية بالزهر والعشب. أنت الآن يا ملك نقبل طلبات عبيدك الواقفين بين يديك قائلين نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. O great and holy God who created man in his image and likeness and gave him a living and reasoning soul, have mercy, O Lord, on your creation which you have made. Show us compassion and send down upon us your mercy from the height of your holiness and your prepared dwelling. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. من خلصت عبدك نوح البار ونجيته من الطوفان هو وبني ونساء وأيضا الحيوانات الطاهرة وغير الطاهرة أجل تجديد الأرض مرة أخرى نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. O maker and provider of all, deliver your people from the flood of the sea of this passing world and protect them and all animals from harm and provide for the needs of the birds, for you give to all birds, animals, and ravens their sustenance. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. من ضيف عند عبد إبراهيم رئيس الأباء أنتك على مائدتي وبارك في زرع أنت الآن أيضا يا ملكنا اقبل طلبات عبيدك وكهنتك الواقفين بين يديك وترافع على العالم وخلص شعبك من كل شدة وحل فيهم وسر بينهم سألك يا رب اسمعنا وارحمنا. We ask you, O Lord, to guard us from all evil, to have compassion on your creation and all your people, for the eyes of everyone wait upon you, for you give them their food in due season. A sustainer of all, sustainer of all flesh, the help of the helpless, and the hope of the hopeless. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. يا نار المتواضعين بعين عينيتك التي لا تغفل وخلصت يوسف من مراد سيده وجعلته ملكا على مصر وأحوالها. وأجزت عليه أيام الشدة فأتى لي إخوة أبو يعقوب وسجدوا بين يديه. أخذوا من حنطة لقوت بنيهم وماشيهم. نحن الجميع أيضا نخضع لك برؤوسنا ونسجد ما بين يديك ونشكرك يا خالقنا ورازقنا على هذا الحال وفي كل حال وما لسائر الأحوال. ونجينا يا الله من كل شدة نسألك يا رب اسمعنا وارحمنا. O God, Logos of the Father, works in the law, the prophets and the Old Testament, and fulfills them. Save your people from every hardship. Manage their lives according to your goodwill and spare them from famines and calamities. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. آمن على الشعب الإسرائيلي 40 سنة في طور سيناء لم يكن لهم بيوت ولا مخازن. أنت سيدي احفظ شعبك وعلهم وباركهم في منازلهم ومخازنهم بالبركات السمائية نسألك يا رب اسمعنا وارحمنا. who accepted the prayer of Elijah the Tishbite when the sky rained and the earth produced vegetation and blessed the barrel of wheat and the vessel of oil in the widow's house. Accept the prayers of your people through the intercessions of your holy saints and prophets. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. يا الله ترافع على العالم بعين الرحمة والرأفة وبارك في كي غلتهم ومخزنهم في القليلة دي عندهم وأصعد مياه الأنار كمقدارها وهب اعتدالا للآويان المصر بارك في هذا العام وكل عام وفرح وجه الأرض وعولنا نحن وبني البشر سألك يا رب اسمعنا وارحمنا. you accepted the repentance of the Levites when they fasted together and received the confession of the right hand thief upon the cross. Make us also worthy of pleasing you and receiving your compassion, crying and saying, remember us, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom, and receive from your servant their repentance, their confessions, their fasting, and the offerings which are offered upon your holy altar as acceptable incense. And have mercy on them, we ask you, O Lord, hear us, and have mercy upon us. أي المدبر القوي المؤدي بالشافي طبيب الأرواح والأجساد الذي امتحن عبده أيوه وشفى من بلاياه ورد عليه ما فقد منه أزيد مما كان ارحم شعبك وخلصه من جميع البلايا والمحن والتجارب والشدائد يا ناصر جميع المتكلين عليك نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا O Christ, our godless of the Father, who sanctified his pure disciples, washed their feet and made them leaders of the believers and delight for the faith, who by them satisfied hungry souls and taught them to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. يا صانع العجائب والمعجزات ومن أشبع الأروف من الخمس خبزات وأقام الأموات وبارك في العرس بقانا الجليل الآن يا سيد بارك لعبيدك في خبزهم وزيتهم وزرعهم ونحلهم وفي متاجرهم وصنائعهم ومباشراتهم سألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا Oh Lord, save your people and surround them on every side by the sign of life-giving cross. Raise the state of Christians in all the world and fill the hearts of their rulers with kindness toward them. Soften their hearts toward our poor and needy brethren. Keep every evil thing far from them, we ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. يا رب يا من ترك لنا عهده القدوس جسده ودمه حاضرا عندنا كل يوم على المذبح خبزا وخمرا بحلول روح قدسه أوصانا قائلا اصنعوه لذكري نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. O Christ, our God, have mercy on your people and the successors of your apostles. Bless the fruits of the earth and give gladness to the heart of man. Through the abundance of fruits and blessings, we ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. أي المولود من الآب الذي تجسد من البكر البتول العذراء القديسة مريم في آخر الأيام الذي قال لتلاميذه القديسين امضوا تلمذوا كل الأمم وعمدوهم وعلموهم جميع ما أوصيتكم به هو ذا أنا معكم كل الأيام وإلى انقضاء العالم كن أيضا مع شعبك الصارخين إليك قائلين نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. O forgiver of sins and giver of all things, forgive the sins of your people, purify them from every blemish, and cleanse them from every deceit, and keep them from bearing false witness, and from all envy and slander, and uproot from their hearts every evil thought, murmuring doubts and hardships of heart. Rising from the pride, we ask you, Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. أنت يا سور خلاصنا يا والدة الإله الحسن المنيع إليك نسأل مشورة المعادين لنا ابطلي وحزن عبيدك إلى فرح ردي وعلى مدينتنا صوني وعن الملوك والرؤساء الأرثوذكسيين حاربي وعن سلام العالم والكنائس اشفعي سألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. soul. O God of mercy and compassion, Lord of all comfort, do not be angry with us, nor rebuke us for our wicked deeds, nor for our many sins. Do not be wrathful with us, nor let your wrath endure forever. Hear us, O God of Jacob, and look on us, O God, our helper. Spare the world from death, scarcity, plagues, devastation, the sword of enemies, earthquakes, horror, and all fearsome events. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us. من أجل حفظنا تحت اليد العالية المقدسة التي لك يا الله أطلب إليك أن تبقي لنا علينا حياة الأب المكرم البابا البطريرك الأنبا تودروس الثاني شريكة في الخدمة الرسولية بالأسقف المكرم الأنبا بولس تحفظ لنا حياتهم وتثبتهم على كراسيهم سنين عديدة أسمنا سالما يا مديدا نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا O Christ our God, we ask of your graciousness and your great mercy to keep for us the life of our fathers, the metropolitans, the bishops, and all the leaders of the flock. Comfort the sheep of your flock. Grant protection to the priests, purity to the deacons, strength to the elders, understanding to the young, chastity to the virgin, asceticism to the monks, purity to the married, and protection for women, we ask you, O Lord. Hear us and have mercy upon us. أيضا الضالين والمسافرين ردهم والأرامل والأيتام علهم والجياع والعطاش اشبعهم الذين عليهم دين أوفي عنهم وسامحهم والمحبوسين والذين في الشدائد افرج عنهم والمرضى والمطروحين اشفيهم الراقدين نيحهم نسألك يا رب اسمعنا ارحمنا. O God of our Holy Father, do not forsake those whom you have created with your own holy hands. You who manifested your love for mankind, O merciful one, accept from your mother an intercession on our behalf and save, O Savior, a humble people. Do not leave us to the end, nor forsake us forever for the sake of your holy name. Do not break your covenant, your tikkai from us, your mercy, for the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, Jacob, your saints. We ask you, O Lord, hear us and have mercy upon us.
حاصنها بالإيمان بحسن على يمني على تتزعزع أبدا
كيريا ليسون كيريا ليسون كيريا ليسون
كيريه ليسون
إمانويل بن نوتي خنتن ميتي تينو خنغو انت بفيوت نمبيب نغم سوال
كيريه ليسون كيريه ليسون كيريه ليسون
كيريه ليسون كيريه
يباركنا كلنا يطهر قلوبنا ويشفي أمراض نفوسنا وأجسادنا
كيريا ليسون كيريا ليسون كيريا ليسون
كيريا ليسون كيريا Eison, Eison,
Eison, Eison, Eison,
Eison,
Eison,
May Jesus Christ, our true God, who through his own goodwill accepted sufferings and was crucified on the cross for our sakes, bless us with all spiritual blessings and support us and complete for us the Holy Pascha and bring forth upon us the joy of his holy resurrection for many years and peaceful times through the never-ending intercessions of the Holy Theotokos Saint Mary and of all the choir of the angels and archangels. كل التغمات السماية صلوات رأس الأباء والأنبياء والرسل الشهداء والأبرار الصديقين ومصاف لباس الصليب والنساء كل معترفين والسواح وبركة الباسكة المقدسة التي مخلصنا الصالح بركتهم المقدسة ونعمتهم وقوتهم وهبتهم وحبتهم وعنتهم تكون معنا كلنا إلى الأبد أمين بكريستوس بنوتي
آمين سيشوبي
ورم دتيرين ونان تكرين سمنان تكرين كنو ونان فولد وقت تيغون بيونم بأسمه Empty Amahashaini Amin make us worthy to pray to you. Thank you, our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one in Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever.
May love the Father, God the Father, and the grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.